Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Happy Sunday to you all, no matter where you are, what you're doing. Hope you guys had a great weekend. Technically, today is Sunday, so it is the end, typically, of your weekend. Well, also, technically, where I am right now is pretty early in the morning. It's about 12. Well, according to my computer, it's 1 now. So it's early in the morning on Monday. You know, one of the things about social media that, you know, is both a blessing and a curse is there's so many trends that come up that, you know, some of them are better than others, definitely. But one of them I think is great is Motivation Monday, where people like to share messages of hope and hope to inspire others to fulfill their goals and dreams or to help people rise above the negativity of others and whatnot. So because I'm always notoriously late to the party to a lot of these because I get so busy and wrapped up with things, I thought for once I'll get ahead of the game. So I thought what I'd do for you guys is talk to you guys about goal making. The reality of goal making, whatever it is you want to do, and then what happens when you achieve said goals. Is it everything you hoped for? Are they not? And whatnot. And I think one of the first things that you have to understand is when you're younger, your goals can change, and that's okay. We can all have ambitions and have things we want to do. It's just as we get older, we realize what's realistic and what is not. Ultimately, I don't believe there's any goal that cannot be made, and I don't think there's a dream that cannot be seen. For example, people who dream, I want to be a Hollywood actor, or I want to be in film, I want to be an athlete, I want to do something in dance. These are things you can easily get into somewhere. It's all about making those small goals. One of the oldest traditions in the world is the New Year's resolutions, right? How many people out there have ever made a New Year's resolution? Excellent. And now, how many people who make a New Year's resolution either, one, forget what it is to begin with, or kind of put it on the back burner until, you know, about a couple, you know, like you initially try, and it's just after a little while, it just, one thing turns to another, and then by the end of it, you realize, you haven't gotten your goal or whatever. What I mean by that, let's say your goal is to, you know, lose weight and join a gym. So you go ahead and you join a gym and you say, well, I'm going to, you know, go down there and I'm going to join this gym, pay this gym fee, and I'm going to go to the gym 5 days a week. That's a great goal to get in your shape, but technically speaking, if you really want to get in shape, depending on what it is you're wanting to do, anyone who's in a fitness kind of world will tell you that it's good to have, you could definitely go to the gym and work on something, but it's not good to work on the same thing every single day. But in the same sense, I think for most people, what happens is you go down, your ambition is to lose weight, so you join a gym. So you pay the money at the beginning of the year where the sales come in. And then, you know, you may very well start out very well going to the gym every day, either after school or after work, whatever the case may be. You find a schedule that works for you. But then what happens is after a little while, you'll get to the point where, well, you know, such and such came out, so I'll just switch this day, or such and such came up and, you know, I'll something else came up, or I'm not really feeling like the gym today. It's raining out. I don't really want to go out and get wet. I'm going to stay home and stay dry, and I'll just do some home calisthenics or whatever. And, you know, this is kind of how those goals and those kind of things kind of fall to the wayside after a little while after doing them. Even if we have the greatest intentions, after a little while of making those New Year's resolutions, a lot of people fail within the first 3 to 6 months of any of those New Year's resolutions. Some people want to learn how, some people's goals are to quit smoking or stop drugging. This is a true story. I had a friend of mine, a very close friend of mine. His name was Sleepy Bear. And, well, it's not his actual name, but everyone in the F4L have their own nicknames, so might as well use their own nicknames. So Sleepy Bear, he and his roommate, one of my other friends and his roommate for a long time, my friend Triple D, I used to say, you know, they're part of the original F4Ls way back in the day, and they're very good friends of mine from back in the day. Unfortunately, Triple D is no longer with us, but Sleepy Bear still is. And Sleepy Bear, for a long time, he and his roommate, my longtime friends, they smoked for a long period of time, packs of cigarettes, sometimes a couple packs a day, sometimes, you know, whatever. And Sleepy Bear was, you know, very educated. He was very, very intelligent and was very much into nature. He liked the arts. He liked music. He had a very wide range of things he was, you know, passionate about. He did not own a television. You know, he didn't need it because he got companionship from his roommate who they would chat about whatever. They had a similar kind of a, you know, music and whatever taste kind of a thing. He didn't drink because, you know, he knew himself to be not a healthy, you know, drinker, which is good that he knew about that about himself. But he knew he smoked a lot. So he decided one day that, listen, if I'm going to quit smoking, I just need to stop smoking. And we're talking about a person who smoked every single day, and it kind of became part of the habit. You know, he woke up and he had to have a cigarette. And you eat a meal, you have to have a cigarette. And this is how those things happen. And for people who, you know, don't have those kinds of vices, I'm someone who, I grew up around a family who had all kinds of these vices, smoking cigarettes and pipes and whatever. I'm talking about an old school pipe, ladies and gentlemen, not whatever other type of pipes there are in the world. But I was around a lot of that growing up, and then alcohol. And as I mentioned before, I learned that there's very different types of, you know, people who drink, and alcohol affects people differently, much like cigarette smoking and drugs, and, you know, can deal with people differently. And because I've never seen, for myself, I have never seen any kind of actual help that doing drugs, smoking cigarettes has ever helped any situation. My mother, who smoked for a number of years, she was, you know, confined to a wheelchair before she was even 50. And she couldn't walk because she couldn't go 2 inches without getting over-exasperated. Her breathing, her windpipe getting, her windpipe to get her, her windpipe air coming in like a normal person, it would be very difficult because her breathing was like breathing through a cocktail straw. So it was, she had then severe emphysema and she couldn't breathe really. She was suffocating. And what's worse about it is with emphysema, you can't get any better. There's no reverse. There's no cure for it. There's no surgery that can help with it. You can either stop smoking and prolong your life, or you smoke until you don't breathe anymore. And Chris just up, my friend Sleepy Bear just kind of up and quit smoking, just because he, not because of anything with my mother or anything else like that, but so I'm aware of how difficult it is for a smoker to give up smoking. Some people don't feel that they need to. Some people it's a crutch and they feel like it's a nervous reaction. Some people do it to deal with their nerves, quote, end quote. Some people do it as just kind of a way to fit in, to be social. I had my aunt, who was elderly, my older aunt, she would smoke whenever anyone else would smoke. But she wouldn't smoke just normally, just, oh, I want to have a cigarette like anybody else would. She smoked if, like, she was around other people who smoked. So she would have packs of cigarettes that would last her, you know, 3 or 4 months, depending on how often she was around people who smoked. Clearly, my mother smoked and my stepfather smoked and her husband, my uncle, would smoke. He's the one who smoked the old school pipe. And I'll tell you, I got used to the tobacco smoke real quick. And I'll tell you, nothing like driving in a car with the windows up in the winter with the cigarette smoke and pipe smoke in the same car. Ladies and gentlemen, that right there is his childhood. But because I saw the effects on the negative effects of those things, I decided a long time ago not to get involved in those things. And that's something that's important. But you see, so making a goal to, hey, I want to quit smoking is easier said than done, or is it just the fact that you just have to get over it and do it? For Sleepy Bear, he was able to quit it and drop it, and he hasn't smoked a cigarette since. And that was a number of years ago, many, many years ago, actually, now that I think about it, probably going on maybe 20 years since he smoked a cigarette since that day. And he was someone who was a pretty decent-sized smoker and from a young age. So it goes to show you a lot, because he did that for his own health, and he's better for it. But you see, that's, you know, there's many kinds of goals out there. But what I like to tell people is, you know, it's okay to have tiny goals to get you to the big goal, right? So, you know, what is your ultimate goal? You know, if you're a younger person out there, you may not know if you have a goal yet. Some people aren't aware of what they want to do. So, you know, when you go to, for example, you go to school or whatever, and someone asks you, what do you want to be when you grow up? Some kids say, I want to be a fireman, or I want to be a policeman, I want to be in the military, I want to be a zookeeper, whatever. But how many of those kids who say that then will remember 5 years from then when they're in the fifth grade? If you ask those kids the same question, they may have a different answer, or they may not have an answer at all. Or now take those same kids and ask them when they're in the middle school, which is the next thing after, you know, elementary school. And what is their goals now? Now, as you get older, your goals do change. And I have to say, no matter how old you get, there are going to be times where you're going to set goals for yourself. And it's a matter of being able to keep track of your own goals. And I always, what I used to like to do, because I'll tell you, goals came in very handy for me. I love goals. I love setting something, having something to achieve. And then when I fulfill that goal, then I got to look for something else, because I've already achieved it. There's always something else I can be doing, right? There's always the other challenge, something else I haven't been able to do yet. For example, my goal, ever since seeing a live pro wrestling show, my goal was to become a professional wrestler. And of course, you know, I always watched intently. And much like I do for television and films and everything else, I don't just watch something. I study it. I'm a connoisseur for those things. I absorb whatever I'm hearing and listening to. I'm someone who enjoys listening to documentaries. I enjoy listening to conversations. I enjoy listening to people who have been around the business for a long period of time. I like listening to the old stories of how the wrestling was. So you do your research and you learn things as time goes on. And then when you get to be older and you realize, well, now, you know, it's time to kind of fulfill this. Because as a person like myself, I lived in a, you know, small suburb south of Boston, not far away from the main city. And I said, well, there's a school that's not far away. Now, you remember, I left home at 15 to be on my own because my home was a just a nightmare of a home. It wasn't a lot of anything to do with the F4L then. There was no F4L there. That's why I left. For my own safety and for also for my own well-being. And also, it was probably best for them, those people, because, you know, they never really understood. It was less things for them to worry about than worry about me, who was never part of their family to begin with, my stepfamily. So when I'm on my own, you know, I was, you know, working because I had to. I had to save money for what would be an apartment. And you got to remember, when I was on my own at 15, you know, I was in a what's called a group home for, you know, teenagers, because at first I was there. And that's where I would meet, you know, the people who we would form what would be the F4L when I was about 16. So, you know, all that. And that was also the year I got emancipated. So I was my own guardian at that age as well. So a lot of people will ask me, I mean, I'm not going to go into that today, what it's like to become your own adult. But one thing I do want to touch on, you know, as far as making goals and achieving things, is remember, whenever you are accomplishing something, there's always something you can also do to add to your repertoire, your skill set, right? I'm often wondered how many people, for example, myself, when I was, you know, doing a lot of, when I was on the circuits and doing the martial art tournaments and stuff like that, as a young guy, I was doing the freestyle tournaments. And I was up and down the East Coast almost every other week. Every weekend, I was pretty much away somewhere doing some type of competition with my dojo, because no one else was going to care about that. But a lot of the times, you know that you kind of, you know, and you kind of lived in that lifestyle you have, that's kind of your weekends, right? But then, you know, you get home and now you got to have your regular, you know, back to school. And as I mentioned before, you don't go to school and tell them what you did all weekend, because you became a target of everyone. And now, instead of enjoying your, well, trying to enjoy school, let's face it, not everyone's going to enjoy school. School is my platform school is my platform to work on my ability to make others, quote, happy, as I saw it. Because I didn't realize there was a difference between making people happy, making them laugh with you versus at you. And that's something I think people need to be careful of, especially online and things like that now, because that these things didn't exist then. So, you know, my first goal, we're talking about goals tonight and the art of goal making. My first goal going into first grade, as I said, I don't like to see people sad and crying and getting hurt. So I'm going to be not only the class clown, anybody can do that. My goal from first grade was to be the number one school clown. That meant to me that I wanted to make the entire school laugh, because in my opinion, that would make me popular and people would think it was funny and whatever. And then one of my mother's favorite quotes whenever I would tell her such a thing was, yeah, oh yeah, you're funny all right, funny looking, which is just how we grew up. But what I'm wondering is, in the middle of, you know, everything in school, my goal is to be a class clown, a school clown. And then at weekends, I'm, you know, probably one of the most respected people on our mat for various different martial arts and stuff. So that was all filled. But, you know, in between that, I had to learn how to cook at a very young age, how to clean at a very young age. And what I'm wondering is, how much responsibilities do all of the rising people out there do have? And how many things can people do that, you know, go along with their goal? Because it's okay to have those goals and work on those goals, but it's also important to remember that you have responsibilities as well. And if your, you know, goal is to be, you know, great, to be staying in shape and whatever else, well, in my opinion, if your goal is to be someone who is going to be savvy about your health in your weight or anything like that when it comes to sports, then you should probably also be aware of nutrition. You should also be aware of how to prepare your own food so that you don't put other people in the house out, far as, you know, should they have to make your separate grilled chicken if you're trying to get protein or whatever. No, that's something you should be able to do. And I'll tell you why. Because at a young age, I learned that cooking is not as hard as it sounds. Of course, it takes responsibility. You need to know what you're doing. You need to know safety protocol, what to do if there's a fire, which, you know, in school they taught a lot of us about that anyway. But for the most part, you make little things. I think it's important. I mean, I think anybody could probably make an egg. You can put some. You can put an egg in some boiling water, time it for a little while, and now you have a hard-boiled egg. Or you can, you know, fry an egg. You can scramble an egg. There's many things you can do with an egg. So a lot of people, when I'm trying to teach them how to cook, or when I'm trying to convey the message that, you know, if you're old enough to or responsible enough to do 700 different other things, you can. Some people like to do acting and directing and all these other things at a young age. You should probably also be able to make a grilled cheese sandwich, make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich on your own. And I'm wondering, is that an art that has gone to the wayside? How many young people out there actually can cook who are doing various things? That's part of it. That's kind of the, you know, the rise of, you know, earning your goals in the middle of your goals. Does that make sense? So your little milestones, we call those, right? So you're going, you're trying to achieve your goal. And every so often, as I said, you make these little mini goals to get there. And when you hit that mini goal, now you hit a milestone. So let's say for the sake of argument, your goal is to be a bodybuilder. All right. So obviously, you know, you have to do, you know, the physical part of it. You got to do some exercise. You got to be careful of what you eat and how you eat and proper nutrition, proper diet. You have to worry about your sleep pattern. You have to worry about, you know, all the other things that are coming along with that as well. So, and the expenses that go along with it. So these are all things that, you know, you should be aware of when you're getting into that goal, if that's something you're interested in. Same thing with martial arts. Let's say your goal is to be a UFC fighter. Okay, well, great. You got to find a dojo or a school or a lab or whatever you call your martial arts studio. You got to do your research, find a good one. And it's okay to shop around, find a good one. You're going to have, you know, have, obviously, if you're a young person, you need to get your parents to go down there and talk to the sensei or the people running the school. Make sure it's going to be okay for you. Hopefully you have parents who are supportive that do those, that are into those things. And then here's the thing. I think what's important is the difference between people like myself and people who I talked about earlier this week, or last week rather, these are people who not only do they do the training, you know, at the school, but they'll go home and do more work on top of that. And that's what sets them aside from all of these other people who, they're good when the camera's on. They're good when it's time to go in the school or when it's time to go at a tournament. But off the air, you won't see anything about it or you won't hear anything about it. And as I mentioned the other night, it's not necessarily because they're doing what I suggested the other night, is you limit your stuff you're showing on social media when it comes to preparing for a fight. Because, again, as I mentioned earlier last week when I talked about the future fighters of the world, when you're showing all of your fights, winning or losing, you're giving people the proper tools to find out how to get to – if there's going to be people out there, trust me, who will be like myself. There will be those sharks out there who will do the research, watch your tapes, and find the errors to your thing, and they'll pick it apart before you even get to see them. So be aware of that for the future fighters of the world. But we're talking about goals. So if your goal is to be in the UFC, you got to make little ones. You got to join a dojo. You got to learn an art. No one wakes up one day and says, okay, I'm going to start doing, you know, Fujiwara Ambas. You got to learn how to do those things. So you got to find a dojo. You got to find an art that works for you. Some people like, you know, those many different types of arts out there and many types of disciplines out there. And most schools nowadays will do like a cross promotion where they'll train with other things as well, which is good because that will give you more intel and more tools, I suppose, if you want to do those things. That's going to take expenses, which means money. And how are those things being paid? Because martial arts can cost a lot of money. I was fortunate as my grandmother paid originally. And then when I was 9 years old, I don't know if I ever told this story, but when I was 9 years old, my grandmother, who, you know, is ultimately the one who got me into the martial arts, she was a big fan of boxing. And she was, you know, a strict, tough Irish woman. She liked boxing. She liked wrestling, too. And she was probably as close to a tomboy as you can possibly imagine. She had all brothers, my grandmother. So, of course, you know, she was a fighter as well. So, you know, she was more prone to those things. But when I was 9 years old, she knew that she was starting to get a little bit, she was coming down with the early stages of the dementia and seeing that becoming with Alzheimer's, which two of the most devastating things to someone who you used to know to be someone who was very intelligent, very wise, very, you know, always had a quick wit and always had a good story. And my grandmother had all kinds of quotes and everything else, which I still use to, in the art of making my goals or whatever else may be. But when I was 9 years old, she paid my sensei because she knew my mother wasn't or anybody else in my family wasn't going to pay. And I guess she met with him, you know, at some other point, and she paid him whatever it was to train me until at least I was 18 or when I got my black belt and grand mastership, which I did at 18. So, you know, I owe my grandmother, you know, that training. And, you know, my being able to be part of those shows and stuff. And my sensei is the one who would get me to all of these, you know, the meets and stuff like that and the tournaments all up and down the East Coast. So that was fun. But, you know, we're going with the goal. If you want to be a UFC fighter, those are the kinds of things you got to, you know, get ready for. Then you're going to have injuries. What are you going to do while you're injured? What are you going to do to avoid injuries? What are you going to do for, you know, other things? What's your backup? So there's all those things when your goal is to be a UFC fighter. And then, you know, you're going to join a UFC gym somewhere because there are those out there as well. As you get older, you're going to probably take up more, you know, more schools, more training until you start doing more of these fights. And then you'll be in the UFC eventually. I think most people who are in the UFC would tell you that it's a journey to get there. I wanted to be a pro wrestler. What did I do to become a pro wrestler? Well, I studied when I was younger. And yeah, I have to admit, I did do the schoolyard wrestling, but nothing crazy like you see on TV. You know, I didn't do the into the stupid, you know, jumping off buildings or anything like that. We, you know, had, you know, schoolyard wrestling. But, you know, we grew out of that, of course. But, I mean, I did that, and I studied it, and I watched it a lot. I became a connoisseur of all the names and all the stories, and I kind of kept track of all those things. And I learned the art of being able to tell a convincing story and being able to tell who's a good guy, who's a bad guy, being able to convey, you know, what's going on in a ring and all of those things, right? And going to a show live, it would, you know, obviously it would, it's a different type of feeling that to someone who is just a casual fan than someone who is, this is going to be their thing. I call it a calling or a bug, right? You got bit. There's another way to say it. You know, you go to a live event, you feel the energy of that crowd. we talked when I had Philip Ricardo Jr. and JoJo the bodybuilder on a while back. They talked about it. Philip talked about it just before going on. It was show that kind of that burst of energy you get before you go to a stage. That's what keeps us going. That adrenaline you get when you're on stage, you're untouchable. Everyone's there for you. It's a feeling like you wouldn't get otherwise. So to be a great pro wrestler, you had to learn all. I had to get that way. I did other sports in the middle of that. And then obviously when I got time to be, because I was still technically 18 years old, so I was still in high school, still at that point I was living in a shelter because I was too old for the group home. I was in the shelter with a bunch of adults. I was one of the youngest people there. I was the youngest person there. I was 18 with all of these older people who were there as well. And what would happen is because I had school and work, I would go up to school and work and I'd come home. I'd come back to the shelter at the end of the day, unless I had, something else. Because when wrestling came in, I had late entry. Because it turns out the priest who ran the shelter was, friends with the guy who promoted the school, which was the late, great Killer Kowalski up my neck of the woods. And I knew, and this is a lesson, if you want to be a, pro wrestler, I had to do research. So I found out Killer Kowalski's school is just up north of me. And it's a train ride. And so I knew I could do that. And I don't mind walking and things like that anyway. So that's kind of how that story went. That's how the journey started. Of course, there was ups and downs in the middle of all that because I still had my graduation that would happen when I was 19. I would have my first belt with cancer just before that. And I would just be getting my black belt at 18. So 18 was not a year of ups and downs, I'll tell you. When I was 18, it was about March when I took care of the cancer situation. And then in the summer of that year, I got my black belt in martial arts. And then it was in the fall that I entered wrestling school and I was in remission of the, everything was, I checked out and got clearance from doctors to go to wrestling training. Considering I just got my black belt, I didn't think it was going to be much of an issue. Cut several, but anyway. Come, the fall. So that's what I did. And literally about 6 months before I graduated high school, I started at the Killer Kowalski School of Wrestling in Malden, Mass. So that's how it starts. And then the rest of it was history. And then if you're wondering what's in wrestling school, everyone has different trainings for different types of school trades or whatever else. It's not just about learning how to do the moves, but how to do them in a safe way without anyone getting hurt, but also how to tell a story in a ring, the psychology of wrestling. And as I mentioned before, when I was talking about the future fighters of the world, one of the things I enjoyed when I competed is the fact of the human chess capacity, being able to figure out my opponent in a rut. But I apply that to any sport, right? It's all about goals. It's all about achieving those things. So no matter what your goal is, keep going for it. And the other thing is I see people who are kind of, they bounce around from different things, and that's okay. But just remember that these things cost money. These things cost time. These things are going to be pressing. So it's important to pay attention to the things that you enjoy. And don't be afraid to enjoy things that you don't think everybody else in the world does, especially people you live with. I'm someone who came from a family who didn't support anything. And it was all my friends or other people who thought it was great that I did what I did. So don't let other people discourage you from your goals because you know what? People are going to do that because that's just how people are. People aren't going to understand what something means to you because what means to you isn't the same thing it means to someone else. Some people look at the pro wrestling business as a way to make money. Cool. But some people look at pro wrestling as a way to get into film or television, to be famous. And then what happens when you become famous? And this is something that, you know, can be for, let's say someone, their goal is to be a celebrity. Everyone always watches TV or movies, and how many times have people said, I'd love to be so-and-so and have their money and be able to do this, that, and the other thing. But what I want to let you guys know is it doesn't matter what the job title they have is. It's a job. And even if they're a young person, you're like, well, they're the same age as me. They're also, you know, under 18, and they're working this, you know, big Hollywood movie job. But you got to remember, they had to put skills in, too, to do those roles, and they had to pay for the headshots. They had to travel. They had to do the audition process. They had to get the clothes. They had to, you know, those things, there are things that you have to do to get involved in those things. They had to find an agent, you know, things of that nature sometimes. So, you know, as far as, you know, that goes, I had Christian Goodwin on the show a while back. I remember Christian Goodwin. He's now a recording artist. And we're proud of him. We're happy for him. He's got some rap going on, and he came out a couple new songs on his birthday, and they're good. He's killing it. That music stuff's good stuff, and I'm not really one for all of the music, the rap stuff, but it was actually he does some pretty cool stuff, and the lyrics are pretty easy to, you know, catch on to, and they're meaningful, and you can tell the stories that he's telling, and the fact that I know him and what the things are about, and he indicates a lot of various different, like, local spots and stuff like that. It's easy to kind of understand. But the way Christian Goodwin talked about it, when we had him on, he talked about how his goal, he wanted to be an actor. He wanted to be, you know, in front of a camera. He wanted to be a movie star. And then he got the bug, so to speak, and then he begged and begged and begged. And finally he got, you know, his mom gave in, took him down to an audition, and, you know, like I said, he was one of the most talented actors of our area. And I was one of the people who pushed to get him to get casted for the film Millwood as a lead role, because I thought he had the great – he had a natural way to read. And he, you know, it was just how he was. He was also very punctual, and he was someone who was on time, and he was someone who was prepared, and, you know, I respected that. He asked questions. And then when it came to view my own film, he showed up for my own film, you know, because Millwood I worked with as a intern, as I was in the middle of my, just finishing up my film student class, when I was injured from pro wrestling, because that was a backup goal. So you see how that all works there? But anyway, Christian decided that, you know, the whole movie making thing was very tough for him, or the whole Hollywood lifestyle was not him. He was a kid from the East Coast, and he missed his friends. And so as many things as everyone thinks that, you know, being famous and being like the huge, being a celebrity is huge, you have to understand what it's like on the other side of the fence, though. There's an old saying, the grass isn't greener on the other side. But would it be shocking to know that deep down, whether the person's rich or poor, no matter what the kind of the house style is, you could actually be having the exact same issues as they are? You could both be miserable living in where you guys are. The person could be living in a million-dollar mansion and still be completely miserable. And the reason for that is because of how demanding it can get sometimes. You look at all these poor people who, you know, turn to drugs, alcohol, you know, other unfortunate things, harm. And because the industry is not easy, as entertainment goes, then it's not an easy business to get into. And then when you do get into it and you're lucky to get a break, you know, there's always that competition factor. There's also that, you know, you become a, let's say you hit gold mining, you become the next big thing. Well, now you have paparazzis everywhere. And it's one of those things, we always think we want to be famous. We always think we want what the person on the other side of the fence has. But in reality, maybe it's better to want it versus actually achieving it or getting it. It might be something to dream about, just not one to put the work in to get. Or if it is something you're into, then go for it. But just know that when you get there, you might want to get out as quick as you get in. And it might be a lot harder to get out once you're in. So there's that. But, you know, dreams and goals, as I mentioned, can be something that can get you through a lot of different places you're at. You can, like I said, make the small goals. So if your goal is to, you know, whatever, make small goals to get there. If your goal is to, you know, win the talent show, then you need to make small goals to get there. You need to, your first goal should be figure out what the act is you're going to do. Once you get the act down, now your next goal is to make sure you nail it. Then once you nail it, your goal should be to have like a, you know, to do it until you feel comfortable you can do it without, you know, before you even show it to the, you know, the class. And then once you get there, then it's time for the show. And now you've achieved the goal, but you made little goals in the middle. You know, if your goal is to be a movie star, then you have to make mini goals. So your first goal should be to go and do research where there's films going on, how to get into that. Your next goal should be probably to try to find a casting agency in your area. A lot of times there'll be different areas and regions that'll look for extras and so forth. You got to set up time to go get a headshot done, which is a photograph of yourself, and then you know, maybe a couple. And then you can, it'll have basically what you've done for acting or modeling or whatnot, your skills or whatever on the back of it, sort of like a resume. So that's going to be your next goal, is to get your headshots done. Make photographs. That's going to be the first thing you do before you get the headshots. Then get the headshots. And then you go, you know, you do your research on the project. You're trying to get auditions. You find an auditioning film to audition for. And then you have to go to the auditions. And that could be a fun time, too. Be ready to wait around a little bit. I say always be early. That's what my own thing. Punctuality is always big for me. I know that myself, I'm always, when it comes to doing something productive-wise, I like to be early. So that's me, but, you know, in general, be prepared for those things. And then then your goal should be after that is, you know, after you do the audition, your goal should be to, you know, first in the audition, your goal should be to do the best audition you can do more than anybody else. Then your goal after that is to reach out to the person who did the audition and thank them for their time or whatever to follow up. And then your goal, if you get the part, then your goal should make that part your own. If you don't achieve that part, it's okay. It stinks. You're disappointed. Own that. And it does happen where you won't get every role. It happens. So Hollywood's full of rejection. But, you know, just know that you weren't ready for that role, but there's going to be another out there for you. So keep going until you find one you're good for. And that's kind of how that ball rolls. But you see how you have those little goals to get there. Tonight I made a meatloaf. I made a bacon cheeseburger meatloaf for my wife. To make the bacon cheeseburger meatloaf, I had to do certain things. I needed to get the hamburger. I needed to get the bacon and the cheese. Cool. So I had to go to the store. So my first goal was to get myself ready to, today, let me tell you about today. So today I had the show that I've been working on for YouTube. That went up first. And then I prepared what I was going to do for dinner tonight. Then I walked to the store and got the ingredients I needed. And let me tell you, you know, ever since, you know, everything else, I've been very weary of other people. I've been noticing just that, you know, the respect I give others is not always reciprocated as far as distancing goes or, you know, just some common sense things. And that's okay. That's on me, not on them necessarily. But after I got that done, to make the meatloaf, I had to first let people know I was making the meatloaf. So I took a picture. And then I had to go through the steps on how to make the meatloaf. I had to put the ingredients together. I had to double check my recipe to make sure, that was the first thing I did, was double check my recipe to make sure I had everything. Then get all my ingredients together. Then concoct everything together. So these are all little goals. And then, you know, my goal was to set the oven. My goal was to, you know, get it out at a certain time. And, you know, that was all important things, part of making this happen. And at the end result is we had a delicious bacon cheeseburger meatloaf tonight for dinner. But all, that was done by many goals. And I think what happens sometimes is people don't take credit for the small goals that they achieve. And they think that if they don't get their big goal met right away, that they failed. And no, it might just take you a little longer to get there. But if you're achieving things along the way, you haven't failed. You're continuing. It's to be continued, so to speak. So remember, folks, goals, dreams can happen as long as you're willing to put the work into getting them. I had someone, you know, I said this to someone before that you can pretty much do anything you wanted as long as you dream it. And someone being a smart guy said, well, you can't fly. I said, no, that's not true. You can go to piloting school. You can get a flying license. You can get an airplane. You can fly. So, yes, you can fly. And they said, that's not what I meant. I said, well, it doesn't matter what you meant. If your goal is to fly, there are ways you can do that. And there's absolutely goals you can do to make that happen. So, you know, they thought they were going to get one over on me. But in fact, no, there's always an answer for any of those goals, encounter things for those. Because goals are important. Dreams are important. You can't get places without wanting to do something else. So, yes. So I think it's important for people just to understand that, you know, all of the goals that we have, whether it's to be in the entertainment business or into the, you know, the sports world somewhere, is they all take work. They all take a certain amount of work ethic and genetics sometimes, work ethics, you know, all those things. Commitment is going to be that. And also just you have to be focused as well. If you're not someone who can stay focused, who can stay on track, excuse me as I yawn, which never happens on the show. Thank you. But when you do these things, it's important to realize that, you know, it takes us sometimes a little while to achieve whatever it is that we are, you know, setting for ourselves. But we will get there, right? Of course. That sounds a lot more bottled than it really normally is. But I think you guys get the point at this point, right? Okay, cool. So the coming up in the next couple of weeks and the next months and the next years and so forth, I got a lot of big things coming up, and I'm very proud of them. And I think what's important is, you know, when the New Year's comes along, people ask me, since we started this out talking about New Year's resolutions, do I set one? Well, me setting a goal is actually a good thing because goals are what keeps me motivated because there's always that light at the end of the tunnel, that something, that little extra carrot. In high school, my destination was graduation. That was something that was a phrase I repeated to myself over and over again, no matter how hard school was, no matter what how struggling it was as far as drama in the class or drama in the school or, my B in science, in math rather, or whatever the case may be, or A minus, whatever it was in math. But regardless of those things, I said to myself, destination is graduation. And even when I was, coming from the shelter to high school and then to work afterwards, and then I added, remember, I was still on these sports teams too. So I had the sports teams, I had school, I had work, and I had wrestling school and martial art training on top of all that in between. So I was a very busy person, and all of those things took a lot of various different goals that I needed to achieve. And, to get me through when the hardest days come, I'm like, oh, this is getting so difficult. I would take a second and I'd say, destination's graduation. My teachers actually enjoyed that phrase as well. So they would actually adopt that phrase as well at times. Because the sad truth is, in my family, I am one of only two people out of my entire brothers and sisters who have graduated high school. Two people out of seven, out of my brothers and my sisters, two of us have graduated. My mother's side, only a handful of them have graduated high school. So that's why it was important for me to finish school. I would set a new record, so to speak. And let's not forget about that goal. So remember I said before on another episode, I talked about how my stepfamily doubted the fact that I would even make it through school to begin with. And they said, you're not even going to finish school. Who are you kidding about graduation? And I said, watch me. And then from seventh grade all the way to 12th grade, I was either on the honor roll or high honor roll every single semester, back to back to back. And that went on from seventh grade to 12th grade, which was my goal, to just make the honor roll. That's all I wanted to do, just to prove the critics wrong. And then when I graduated high school, I invited them all to my high school graduation as a way to say, well, now you can sit with the rest of the town and the city and hear them call my name that I graduated 14th in class and on the National Honor Society. Thank you very much. They didn't show up. So there you go. But you can't control what other people are going to do. You can't control what other people are going to think about your goals and dreams either. But what you can expect is that, somewhere you're going to get someone who's not going to understand. You're going to get someone who's going to hold you down, not physically, but just someone who's going to try to hold you back, whether it's someone you've known for a long time, or there's people who are like, now we have social media, so now it's almost everywhere. Well, you'll have people who make the smart guy remarks, or we call them keyboard warriors in wrestling, the people who are tough behind a computer in their mom's basement somewhere, writing all these tough things to some person who's up and coming and doing something. People are naturally going to want to get a rise out of you because they get amusement for themselves. So it's important to realize that, yes, these things are going to happen, just to continue on your own journey and not to let these people derail you from achieving whatever it is that you set up. Because at the end of the day, while they're sitting down there and, saying whatever filth that comes out of their minds, whatever they want to say about you, let them say it. Because you know what? At the end of the day, you invite them to whatever you achieve. When you get your first Grammy, when you win your first movie award, or whatever the case may be, when you win your championship or whatever, silence your critics by putting the work and ethic in and achieving whatever it is that you're going after. That's the best way to really, really silence your critics. And there's plenty of them out there. But also, I think this is also a good place to bring in, I've talked about it before, and that's the effects of other people that we allow around us. In, you know, trying to achieve your goals and dreams, as I mentioned before, you know, not everyone's going to have the same idea. And let me be clear on this. So I think I've told before how you can tell a real friend from a fake friend. The phrase I say to my kids, they could probably say in their sleep, real friends don't kick you when you're down, they help you up. And what that means, for those people out there who like quotes, what that means is basically, you know, when you're having a hard time, when you need someone the most, your friends are going to be there to help you get back up. When you're feeling the lowest, your friends are going to be there with their hand extended to help you up out of whatever the situation is. Your friends will call you when they know you're having a hard time. You know you really have a good friend when they can call you before you even have to call them. If they know you, then they're going to call you to make sure you're doing okay. And then it's up to you to, you know, accept that help if you're one of those people. But it's important to realize that not everyone has that. Not everyone has that support system, but everyone should have someone. And just know that I support everybody who has a goal in mind, who has a set practice, and also puts the work into achieving it. And that last week, I talked about people in both filmmaking and in sports who are doing their goals. These are things that I have done myself, so I can relate to those things. But I can also tell you from their point of view, from my point of view, there are people who are usually targeted by other people because they don't understand it. They don't get it. Why do you want to be in this filmmaking thing? Why do you want to be a sports person? Why do you want to go into fighting? It's the most ignorant thing ever when a person tells someone, especially a young person, they shouldn't do something because it's unethical. Listen, I think there should be a thing here on social media in general. There should be a thing where people can't just, you know, put down someone else. But you know what? Whatever the case may be. But I do want to, you know, that being said, I do think it's also a good idea just to do this added little PSA here again. Just parents who have kids who are doing things in sports or in the entertainment business, please keep an eye on your kids' social media. You know, sometimes I can tell you that things aren't always sunshine and rainbows. I've gotten into fights with some very obnoxious people who have been very creepy and strange, in my opinion. And I do encourage parents to once in a while check in with your kids to make sure everything's on the up and up and everything is safe online. Because remember, at the end of the day, our kids are our first priority no matter what. Our family's safety is the most important thing. Even if their goal is to whatever it is, to be a social media person or to be a filmmaker or be a sports person, regardless of that, it's important to know who your real supporters are, who your real friends are, who the real people are, and then who the creeps are. In my opinion, I've demonstrated on my channel many times, on my Instagram, for example, I go through there and I delete anyone who either seems creepy, seems like something's off and whatnot, because I keep everything professional, but also respectful and whatnot. I view a lot of my these people I talk to on a regular basis as my FRL brothers, a lot of them, or sisters in some cases. So I have nothing but respect. I'm doing things on a positive level to try to help them, give them feedback, because I've been there, done that. It's all on the up and up, professional and respectful terms in response into that, you know, that point. But there are some people on there on the various different social media platforms, just they make no sense to me. I'm like, what's wrong with you? Why would you say that to someone? Like this one young man, he was one of the fighters I mentioned. He was telling me that Well, he and his parents are telling me that people are, you know, telling him he shouldn't fight because it's violence and blah, blah, blah. You know what? People need to keep their opinions to themselves because everyone's cultures are different. And just because they can't get off their couch to do whatever it is that they, you know, the young man is achieving, doesn't make it wrong for the young man to do it. It's part of his culture and so forth. So, you know what? When it comes to stuff like that, it's just people need to just keep live under the bridge, stay under the bridge where they belong with the rest of the trolls. That's what I keep saying. And just know for people, these are things you're going to get all the time as time goes on. I have been a victim of people who don't like a lot of the things that I say and do. And I call people out when they're doing creepy and strange things on these things. Sometimes when there's a live with people, and if I happen to be lucky enough to get on or whatever, or if I'm lucky, or if, you know, I come across something, I'm going to be the one to be the, you can't stop the dad in me. I'm going to automatically go for protecting other people. So if I see someone who says something creepy to a young person or a female or something off color, I'm going to be sticking up for that person who they're targeting, because that's not right. So, you know, just know that not everyone in the social media world is your friends. Not everyone is important as much as that goes. Now, if your goal is to be a media influencer or whatever, and that's a new thing apparently, hey, whatever floats your boat, if that's your goal, go for it. Just know that you're going to get a lot of flack for that too. But whatever is important to you, don't let anybody deter you from it. Eventually, I'm going to hopefully get Badical Dadical on the show. He's someone who he and his son on TikTok do a lot of funny kind of videos. And it's kind of like, you know, sarcastic humor, father-son humor. And I get that because my son and I have a very strange sense of humor as well. We do a lot of pranking and so forth. So I get it. And I'm also from the entertainment world. So I've seen the kind of, you know, that kind of entertainment before. It's cool. It doesn't bother me. I have a thick skin and I can see where humor is. But I've seen on TikTok, there's a lot of people who can't get the joke and they don't get the humor of it because either one, they probably don't even have any kids or they don't have a family. And just those people just need to just keep your comments to yourself because it's not right for you to sit there and trash someone just because you can't come up with something funny to put on somewhere. And why are you watching if you don't like them? I don't know. Strange things with social media. But, you know, just know that keep track of who you are friends with on social media and keep, you know, kind of keep a tab on how many people actually reach out to you just to reach out to you. How many people do you talk to on your social media? The reason Talking Tuesday started on YouTube, on Facebook a number of years ago is because I had so many messages and emails on Facebook from people who wanted to touch base when I was at the high days of my wrestling and my filmmaking debut, you know, thing, that I would have to set aside some time once a week that I would respond to the people I normally didn't get to talk to. Because my opinion is if I didn't really care about them or I didn't respect them, I wouldn't have either added them or requested them. So I view anyone who I follow or anybody who follows me as my FRL family until they prove otherwise. And I am a big supporter of people who, you know, go after their goals and dreams and aspirations, and I support those people. So that is what I'm going to say about goals and dreams for tonight. But I do want to tell you some things about some exciting people we're waiting to get confirmation to bring in. And I think it's important. One of the things I'm excited about, and I did talk to the team not too long ago, and that was that our good friends, Noah, the Nightmare, Tidal, Tyndall, who I talked about last weekend. He is the young man over in the UK who, tremendous young man, great work ethic, great attitude, great heart. Heart of a fighter, heart of a champion, and also just a decent human being, likes to do things to help others, likes to bring awareness to things like Alzheimer's, which having a grandmother who suffered from Alzheimer's and dementia, that means a lot to me. And I thought it was very nice that this young man does so many things to inspire others. So I'm very excited that we're going to have our friend from across the pond on the show here momentarily, and it's a long-awaited one. So I'm waiting on him to come on here at some point. We're also going to have the author of the – hold on. I want to make sure I got these right. Hold on. We have – I know that Jack Tyler Adams will be coming back on eventually as well, because we're going to be – talking about prior to, we're going to be probably doing an episode about talking about what we're going to be doing for Dream Masters. If you guys don't know, he, as of the 14th, will be joining forces with me, calling the action. So that will be really cool. And I'm also planning to do a, you guessed it, another watch along towards the end of the year. And for the watch along, I'm going to try to get as many of the people, as many of the people from our show as possible to be part of the end of the year thing on here for the watch along, because in 2023, next year, some people are going to be coming back. Some people aren't. It's cool. It happens. But yeah. Anyhow. Other people who were planning on bringing in onto the welcoming to the show. Bringing up the speed. We're going to have JoJo the Bodybuilder coming back on here eventually too. Walker Campbell. I know the Nightmare. I said that. Working on getting the Baticles on here at some point. by the way, this is an open forum, so anyone who's welcome to, wants to be a guest on here, you are welcome to respond to me and hit me up if you want to come on. So that's a fact on that. You guys can just reach out to me, and I will be happy to add you to the show, and I'll have you on here, and it's a grand old time. You know, the Henry and Hiro menu, I'm going to try to get them on for the end-of-the-year thing. They're always fun to have on anyway. I don't know if they've been part of a watch-along yet, but we'll find out. I'm going to try to get the little punk rocker on here at some point, and maybe the team over at the masterminds of the Terrifier films, maybe get them on here. Gus, I'm going to try to get Gus EJ, who's an up-and-coming singer, on here as well. And there's others. Yeah, there's quite a few people, if I'm being honest. Yeah, there's a few. I could keep you guys suspense. Oh, Robert D'Angelo. I'm going to try to bring him in as well. He's a up-and-coming. He's a tremendous actor, actually, for a young man who's just breaking into the business. He does really, really well. We're going to have him on here. Some point, maybe the Adele boys, at some point, get the Adele boys. They're too busy taking over the octagons everywhere they're going. So, but we'll invite them on anyway. And we got a bunch of others as well. Yeah, we have quite a few shows lined up and a lot of people out there waiting to come in. And we're always welcoming of them. We always like to see when our you know, I like to do what I can to get my voice out there and to, you know, support these people and to introduce some of these people that maybe you haven't heard of yet. It's not a fault of your own if you haven't heard of them or if you, you know, whatever, we all get busy, whatever. It's just, you know, for me, I'm able to spot talent and see what the real deal is. And I like to convey those things to you guys because I tell you that who's going to be the real thing and who the real players are in the world in general. So that's a fact on that as well. The Super Duck, I know we're going to get the Super Duck back on here. He's done all kinds of things recently. And our author friend at the, hold on, Hellman Elementary, the author behind the Hellman Elementary book series, Richard M. Bourne. We're working on bringing him on here, as well as the coffee and tea people back on here, the Dead Sled, the Deadly Grounds, and Brutalities, who keep this show going. Yeah, we got a lot of people coming up, and you know what? We're going to have more people because everyone's always welcome at the FRL headquarters, and we look forward to welcoming these people and, you know, giving them the proper respect that they deserve for what they do. You know, at the end of the year, we're going to have, like I said, my son's going to be coming on to the show eventually as well because we're going to be announcing the 2023 Jazz and Sons Hall of Fame for the Dream Masters and the Dream Warriors who helped get us on the map on YouTube. So you'll get to hear him on here as well. So we got a big show. We got some shows coming up, folks. And I'm happy that I have a platform and I'm happy that I have a voice. And I think it's important that when you have both, it's important to know when to use it and how to use it properly. And I think everyone should have something to say. Some people just don't have the means to do so. I'm very grateful that I have the opportunity to reach an audience around the world and to speak to people around the world who gets to hear my little antics and my little dad jokes once in a while or whatever the case may be. To all my listeners, I want to say thank you guys very much for listening and for supporting all of these amazing athletes and the amazing talents of Hollywood and entertainment and the singers and whoever else. And just know, no matter where you are in the world, whatever you're doing, you can achieve any of those goals yourself if you're willing to put the work into getting them done. Just know that once you get there, what is the next goal after that? Guys, this wasn't supposed to be a long episode tonight, so it's not going to be that much longer. But if you want to reach me and be a guest here at the FOL headquarters and hang out and chat, the email is wowdreammatches, dreammatches, @gmail.com. You can find me on Instagram at F4L. Icon, I-C-O-N, S-E-A-N, J-A-Z-Z-S-T-E-V-E-N-S, 1 on Instagram. And on TikTok, which I'm barely on, which I returned to recently just because it looked like fun, but I'm already regretting it again. But TikTok, it's F-4-L-S-E-A-N-J. J-A-Z-Z-S-T-E-V-E-N-S, and that's just straight up how it is. The F4L icon, Sean Jazz Stevens, on TikTok. And if you want to watch our exciting shows on YouTube and watch the debut of our new my new co-host on the 14th of December. He's awesome, tremendous young man. He has a lot of energy. I think it's going to be a lot of fun as Jack Tyler Adams joins the roster and joins the team. So we look forward to having them on, and everyone else as well. So everyone, I hope you guys enjoy this. I hope this inspires someone. And just remember, no matter how bad things get, no matter how hard the goal seems, just keep going and look towards the end goal. Keep that light in the tunnel in your eyesight and keep striving to reach it, because that's how you get to the end. So folks, I am the F-World icon, Sean Jazz Stevens. Safe travels, and may all your dreams come true. From the F-World headquarters, peace, everybody.